This episode of The Accidental Entrepreneur is brought to you by NowSite Marketing, the first all-in-one marketing platform powered by artificial intelligence. Bring all your digital marketing to a new level with their simple three-click method. And by Digital Accelerant, the digital mobile business card. Text the word LAW to 21,000 to get connected and learn how to get your own digital business card. And by Fetch Internet, the secure high-speed app that eliminates the need to pay for hotspots or use public unsecure Wi-Fi. Listen to all of our sponsors' commercials later in this episode and follow their links in the show notes to learn more about their products and services.
And in a high unemployment market, you think, yeah, there's a lot of employees and fewer employers, and therefore I have the upper hand. But at the same time, I mean, I was just telling you this off air, the flood of candidates that we're starting to get because so many people are unemployed or are looking to make a change, it's a lot. I mean, we're getting, you know, 30, 40, 50 applicants a day.
So you're seeing it around.
We're getting 30, 40, 50 applicants every 2 weeks.
Yeah.
So how do you determine, you know, you don't want all of that 30, 40, 50 to be the wrong people, right? You want at least some of them to be the right fit. So you have to get the word out as to who you are looking for and draw them to you so that as you're scouring through that huge list, you are actually finding people that.
Yeah, because then you're sending out the wrong message. If you're not attracting even just the applicants to be right, then why are you wasting your time?
The information provided in these episodes is for entertainment purposes only. It is not a guarantee of success or to be construed as advice of any kind. You should always seek advice from local licensed professionals before making any decisions.
The dictionary defines an entrepreneur as a person who organizes and manages any enterprise, especially a business, usually with considerable initiative and risk. People often start a business without much choice, perhaps due to a job loss or just being dissatisfied at work, and they come up with an idea they just know can be successful. They become entrepreneurs by accident. That is to say, their success or failure happens by accident, not with intention. My name is Mitch Beinhacker. I'm a corporate attorney and a business advisor. You're listening to The Accidental Entrepreneur, my podcast about how to achieve success on purpose, not by accident. Join me along with our monthly guests where we share our knowledge and help you get a hold of your business. And now on to today's episode.
So hi, I'm Erin Longmoon with Zephyr Recruiting. I own a small boutique recruiting firm here in Cleveland, Ohio. Although we do actually have clients nationwide, we're a virtual company and work with just about any small business in the United States.
Okay, Erin. So thanks for coming on the podcast and being a guest out from Cleveland. I told you I used to live in Columbus. I was close
for
a little while.
Columbus is a great city.
Came back east. It's funny. We went back. So when my son was looking at schools, he's now in Indiana, I think I told you, we went back to Columbus because, look at Ohio State. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the town's grown a lot since then because Nationwide put up the arena and an area called the Short North, which was this little area north of the city, grew all the way up to the university. So it's not so short anymore. And so the whole town has changed. So when we drove back to the house that we used to own, it looks like the only thing in the town that hadn't changed was that house. I mean, it was the same color, the same. There was this old, well, it wasn't old when we left there, but there was old like trellis that, you know, morning glories would grow up and blossom in the morning, things like that, bloom in the morning. And it was still sitting there.
Like, oh, wow.
20 some odd years later.
That's crazy.
People that bought the house did nothing to this house.
That's great. Did you guys stop in? Did you knock on the door?
There was nobody home.
Oh, there wasn't, but you tried. That's great.
We tried. So then I really nervously snuck in the backyard to see what was still there. So then we went around. So yeah, but I didn't know anything about the Midwest till we lived there for a while, but it's a nice, you know, it's a nice place to live.
Yeah. It's a new home for us, but we're enjoying it.
Where'd you come from originally?
Seattle. We were in Seattle for 23 years.
Nice.
Yes.
Home of the what do they call that? The Emerald City.
They do. That's right.
So wet and green.
So wet and green. Yeah.
Yeah. Beautiful. Anytime I've gone to a conference in Seattle, they give out umbrellas as your gift.
Do they?
Yeah.
That makes sense.
They do.
Uh huh. Yeah. It's funny though. I will say in Cleveland, I feel like there's pretty much the same amount of rain, same amount of gray.
Same thing. Right.
Lateral move weather wise, except for just colder.
Except you're not on the water.
Yeah. Well, we're on the lake. We're really close to the lake. Yeah.
Which lake?
Now you're Lake Erie.
Okay.
Took me a moment to think.
You're like, let's see. It's one of those up there.
Yeah. Well, this wasn't supposed to be about geography. So.
I was just going to say, don't do a geography test.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it's Lake Erie. It's beautiful. It's you know, it and it has little waves. I mean, it almost feels like a little ocean. Interesting.
Yeah, well, some of those lakes are so big, you can't see.
Huge.
Yeah, they look like oceans. Cool. All right, so we're not going to talk about lakes and geography, but so you were connected. I forget, who connected us?
Susanna Fontecoba.
Oh, Susanna just sent me an email to talk to a group about starting a podcast as a guest speaker.
Oh, interesting. I need to be a part of that group.
Yeah, I have no expertise in that area, but I guess I'm developing an expertise.
There you go. Isn't that the way we do it? Yeah.
Right. So let's talk about your business, but let's talk about, you said you're from Seattle and you're in Cleveland now, but maybe you can tell me how you got into, you know, the recruiting. I mean, you work on the employer side, right? You're working more with employers and branding and helping them attract the right people, but maybe you can tell me the whole kind of metamorphosis of how you got to where you are.
Yeah, actually, it's actually somewhat related to Susanna.
Okay.
Indirectly. But so back in, I don't know, 2015 or so, I started actually a kind of business consulting company. And we served similar clients to who we serve now, small businesses, okay, under 100 employees, you know, the mom and pop shops, the backbone of our economy. And I was, you know, working with them on a variety of capacities, and recruiting was one of the things that I did for them.
Okay.
And, you know, like I advise all business owners to do at some point is get a business coach, you know, and really work on your business.
Right.
And so I did that, and I was very attracted to the author Mike Michalowicz and his way of thinking. Very
so when
in alignment.
You said you did that, you got a coach or you were coaching?
No, I got my own coach. I was coaching my clients, but it was time for me to get a coach.
Okay.
And because I was drawn to Mike Michalowicz and his philosophy, I decided to go the route of hiring a pumpkin plan coach.
Yeah, his stuff's great. So before I met Susanna, I've read Profit First through a friend of mine. And then the funny thing was he told me about this great book, Profit First. And then I said to him, oh my God, did you read his other books? I read The Toilet Paper Entrepreneur and I read The Pumpkin Plan. And my friend looked at me like, no, what are those? I go, you read the guy's book. You don't go on his website and, you know, and
become find a raving fan
that he's put out in the world, you know? So great books. Pumpkin.
Yeah, he is, you know, the indirect mentor and one of my business heroes, along with Marcus Lemonis. So, you know, when it came time to decide to do, you know, get a coach, it just made a lot of sense to me. So I called, you know, the company that does the pumpkin planning, and I used that philosophy. And so in 2017, which was when I was doing this, it became just imminently clear that my sweet spot, which is that intersection of what I do really well, what my clients want, what I can repeat and scale, you know, all this sweet spot was the recruiting piece of what we were doing. So I pivoted completely and became Zephyr Recruiting.
Okay. The name mean anything? It's got a...
It means a gentle breeze.
Okay.
It's typically used in like nautical, you know, sailing nautical kind of terminology, not that it has to be. You know, I was just talking to a friend of mine one day over a glass of wine, and I was struggling with the name, which often we do because we get too set on certain parameters. And I said, I just want people to feel like it's easy to work with us, that we get to take this off their plate so they can breathe and focus on other things. And she just said, how about Zephyr? And I thought that was it. It just, you know, it just intuitively felt right through and through.
Okay.
There you go. And it's an unusual word. It's memorable. I have to spell it a lot for people because they don't know how to spell it.
Right.
And that's okay. But it just really embodies a lot of what.
What I is it? Z-Y-P-H-E-R?
You got it.
Okay.
Yeah. So you're a smart lawyer.
Well, I typed it into the calendar a bunch of times because we've spoken emails back and forth. So I've seen it. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So that's how that happened. And, you know, the first year it was pivoting such a big deal. It was like a startup all over again, but we really boomed last year and here we are. I have a team of 8 and all different time zones. And like I said, clients all over the country, and we're on our way.
Now you don't do any consulting with the pumpkin plan like Susanna does.
No. But I work with Susanna now because I love pumpkin plan. I believe in it so much that I think it's a really great thing to do, to pumpkin plan your business, you know, every so often.
Yeah. I mean, it's basically writing a business plan. It's a way to create a business plan.
Yes, it is.
You know,
it is.
Working
the
plan,
steps are clear and easy, and they make a lot of sense.
So. Have you ever met Mike Michalowicz?
I have. Yeah. I've actually met him in person here in Cleveland at a book signing. Okay. And okay, I have a funny story. Mike, if you're listening to this, you owe me. so our philosophy around hiring is finding the right fit employees. So people who fit your company, your culture, your values, your goals, your team dynamic, you know, the right. whole package. And I was at this conference where he was talking about Clockwork, another book of his. And we met a little bit, you know, met ahead of time. And I started talking about that. And I said, you know, we don't use the word A player here because one company's A player is a different person than a different company's A player.
Makes sense.
So we use right fit. And he ended up using that in his talk that day in front of the audience in Cleveland.
Did he?
Like verbatim. And I thought, oh, he didn't do the, you know, the little like give me credit thing. So he owes me credit for that. But he's a great guy. Oh my gosh. So dynamic. He's probably one of the best speakers I've ever watched. He had us howling but it like every principle he had sunk in deeper because we were so engaged in right. interacting with him. He's terrific. Well,
if you listen to his books instead of read them, he does the audio. So
yes. And actually, if I can plug, he's going to be doing the audiobook for his Fix This Next book, uh-huh. which I'm going to hold up here. You can see it.
Yeah. I saw it online.
He is, because it's audio, he's going to be adding stories and different case studies in this. And I'm going to be one of the stories.
Nice.
Pivoted from Sage Business Partners to Zephyr.
They're sending me. So I approached him. Did you connect me with Dr. Sabrina?
Yes.
Okay. So yes. I haven't heard back from her yet. Maybe you'll help me get her on the podcast. But I saw that she was connected with Mike Michalowicz also. Okay. Mm-hmm. So I sent him an email. Hey, I'm a big fan. I've read this, and this. His secretary got back from his assistant or whatever.
Yeah.
He said he's too busy. He can't come on the podcast, but they're going to send me a book. So I don't know. I said, well, don't send me the Toilet Paper Entrepreneur.
No, it'll be Fix This Next.
It'll
sure.
be the new one. Yeah. So yeah. If I ever get a chance, I want to get him on the podcast if I can corner him one time.
Keep working it. Yep. Yeah. I was on his GMAT podcast recently as well, which is Grow My Accounting Practice.
Okay, good.
So, yeah. Okay. Yeah.
So yeah, so we have things in common. So let's get back to your business.
Okay, I know. Your listeners are like, all right, whatever, get back to it.
Yeah, well, we don't want to pitch Mike. We want to pitch you.
So. Exactly. Right. Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
So, okay, do you have a question for me? What do you want me to talk about?
Well, I think it's, so I mean, I've met a lot of recruiters, you know, people that yeah. work in your space, let's call yeah. them, okay? Yeah. And I think probably more people are recruiters than anything because they just, you know, they're just headhunters. They meet somebody and they say, hey, I need, and they go out and they look and try and connect. But I think it's interesting because I haven't met a lot of people that kind of take the approach that you take, and certainly that don't really work in the small business market. Usually the right. recruiters are working for large companies because they want big fees up front, you know, whatever, that the small companies can't really afford.
Right.
And I don't think that the time's really taken, like you said, to not just find the right fit, but help them to prepare themselves and to send out the message, because you're going to talk about that, about, you know, branding themselves from an employee attraction standpoint, that people will say, hey, I want to work here. Because I think I interviewed a guy named Mark Beal. He's a marketing and PR professor at Rutgers and I think Montclair State in New Jersey. Travels all over the country. He talks to sports, you know, professional sports teams about all this stuff. He wrote some books on Gen Z and all these kids. And these kids that are coming out of, he has a podcast called 101 Things to Know, like before you go to college or when you're coming out of college. And he talks a lot about getting prepared for the job market and what the kids, and all these kids, what they're looking for, they want to go to a place that like has some, is a little esoteric, but has some meaning to them, you know, like
yes.
change their life.
Yes.
I think a lot of them are disappointed, but I think that that's really an approach that employers are missing. Mm-hmm. They don't miss it if they become your clients, but
no, they don't.
Yeah. But they miss the opportunity to, or maybe they don't think it's important to sell themselves to the employee population, you know, to the people out there, their potential hires.
I think that's true. I think there's also a level of you know, small business owners just needing to run the business day to day and they're overwhelmed, they're overworked. You know, you want me to add one more thing to my list. It's, you know, it's just kind of off the radar because it isn't what they think as a critical function. And as you probably know, a lot of accidental entrepreneurs end up living their lives, putting out a lot of fires, you know?
Yeah. Well, they just become employees of their own company.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. Yes. So I honestly think that's probably a big reason why a lot of them don't do the employment brand marketing. I think employment brand marketing, which I'll explain what it is in a second, is also one of those things that's done at higher levels. I mean, Amazon does it, Costco does it, all the big guys do it. And, you know, it's starting this trickle down, which is often also what happens is they get to beta test it and see if it's effective. And when it is, it's then how do you scale it down, bring it down, make it easy, make it accessible, make it affordable for the little, you know, the smaller business owner. And
where they can still say, hey, we're a great place to work. And this is why. And, you know, that type of thing.
And often way better than the big guys, you know, way better place
on their feet. And they can interact better and, you know.
So employment brand marketing, for those who don't know, it really is quite simple. It's the idea of marketing yourself as an employer, as a workplace. What is your employer brand? And then setting that out into the world so that you can attract those right fit employees, like we talked about a moment ago, the ones that really will fit your culture, will help you take your job, your company to the level and the place you want to go.
Right.
And so, you know, it has to be intentional. It needs, it's a process that you have to go through. And going back to what you were talking about, mission-driven companies is the wave of the future.
You want to feel like they're doing something in the world, you know?
Yeah. Meaning, you know, we want meaning in our lives. We want meaning in the work we do. We want meaning, you know, what else are we doing here? So I do think you're right. The younger generations are really grasping onto that concept. They hear the stories of grandfathers and grandmothers who just, you know, worked to the bone, but for what? In the end, what was it for? So they want more meaning. So what I firmly believe is that employers who are small businesses might say, well, I'm not mission driven. I didn't start this to drive a mission forward. You are mission driven. You just, we just have to discover what it always. Yeah, exactly. Always.
No, because there's, it's like saying I have no purpose. Well, then why would you do it? So you obviously have a purpose. Exactly. You just haven't figured it out yet.
Yeah. You just haven't articulated it. It's already there. You just have to discover it, shed light on it and articulate it. And then you have to get that out in the world, you know, and let these up and coming and existing employees know what it's going to be like to work with you and attract them. And you know,
it'll be interesting because we were talking that before the whole coronavirus thing, it was the tables were more towards the employees and the employees had more pick and they were more demanding in terms of, especially the younger ones, you know, well, do I have to come to work every day? I mean, can I work from home a couple of days a week? And I think you're going to see more and more companies doing that, but it also increased the competition amongst the employee population now where the employers are going to have a little bit of an upper hand. There may be some that'll be like, well, this is the way it's going to be, you know?
So I think
how that plays out.
Yeah, it's interesting. This is why we're talking about this so much because in a, in a low unemployment market, you know, it's a totally different kind of situation. And in a high unemployment market, you think, yeah, there's a lot of employees and fewer employers, and therefore I have the upper hand. But at the same time, I mean, I was just telling you this off air, the flood of candidates that we're starting to get because so many people are unemployed or are looking to make a change, it's a lot. I mean, we're getting, you know, 30, 40, 50 applicants a day.
So you're seeing it around.
We're getting 30, 40, 50 applicants every 2 weeks.
Yeah.
So how do you determine, you know, you want to, you don't want all of that 30, 40, 50 to be the wrong people, right? You want, you want at least some of them to be the right fit. So you have to get the word out as to who you are looking for and draw them to you so that as you're scouring through that huge list, you are actually finding people that.
Yeah, because then you're sending out the wrong message. If you're not attracting even just the applicants to be then why are you wasting your time? I guess some of them, like you had mentioned, are just filling their obligations.
They are. There's a lot of unemployment.
But some may be exploring and saying, you know what? I love what I was doing. And I'm not sure if I'm going to get my job back. Or maybe I shouldn't open the restaurant again. Maybe there's something else I can do. And a lot of people that are exploring. That's
I think there's a lot of that going on. And I'll do a case in point, you know, personal case study. We've been looking for the right fit salesperson for our team for about 3 months. And have not been, you know, we're picky, right? So we're waiting for the right person. And we maybe got one or two candidates that we would say candidates of interest, every 3 weeks or so. And so since this started about last week, I posted again and thought, okay, now people are starting to look again after sort of the initial kind of crisis
shock.
Is starting to calm down. And I have 14 candidates of interest in less than 1 week.
That you think, or at least on paper, that somebody you want to talk to?
Yep, that we want to bring in and talk to, because so they look great on paper.
These are going
to
sell for your organization, meaning they're going to find the employers, or they're going to find the employees, or
they're going to find the employers. They're going to find our clients. Yeah. They're going to connect with clients and start building relationships with the kind of companies that we want to work with. And, you know, but I mean, it just really is pretty shocking to me in just a week, the difference.
No, that's a huge job. Well, just to tell me that you were getting 30 to 40 applications every 2 weeks and you're getting it now in a day is or several days is ridiculous, but I guess. When 20% of the population's unemployed.
Yes. And some jobs are getting even more because they're more broad type jobs, manufacturing, you know, retail, well, not retail, but like online e-commerce stuff. Yeah, online. I mean, there's, truck drivers, all that kind of stuff that's booming right now. I mean, they're getting hundreds and hundreds a day.
Oh my God, I can imagine.
Yeah. So it's, but you know, what I really want to point out is the fact that I now have 14 candidates of interest because they're so good. So even though there's a flood, it isn't, I think there's this misnomer I've heard a little bit online of, well, those who are looking for the job are the ones that just should have been let go. And so there's sort of this idea, and I'm going, well, that's actually not the case. And again, going back to the idea that an A player for one company may not have been their A player, but it might be yours.
Right.
So just because they weren't a good fit for another company doesn't mean they won't be an amazing fit for
God, coaches get fired all the time. They get picked up and win a championship.
Yes, exactly. It's a great analogy.
The management and the culture and the kids, whatever it is, things. I remember when I was growing up, there was this quarterback. I'm a big Giants fan.
Okay, got it.
Professional football. So we had this quarterback. He was so bad that he would come out of the stadium after the game and somebody would take like a sign and throw it through his windshield. I mean, they drove him out of town. They trade him to like Denver, Cleveland, out somewhere in the Midwest. It must be Denver. And they won the Super Bowl.
Really?
This guy. Yes. Because maybe the coach wasn't motivating him. Maybe the quarterback coach, the trainers, I don't know what it was, the facility. Yep. Things, you know, you get in the right place, you know, and look, you said you love Marcus Lemonis. Obviously, that's the third leg of his stool, right?
Yep.
Having the right people. But it's not just the right people. It's the right people in the right jobs.
Yeah. And just like EOS, right? Gino Wickman, for anybody who's familiar with the Entrepreneur Operating System and Traction, same people, right? People in the right seat. So we're the right people recruiters. But the employment brand marketing, I do want to point out, what's right that?
Recruiters. You should trademark that tagline. We're the right people recruiters.
There you go. Maybe I will do that. Should be right here, a little moment of brilliance.
We're the right people.
We're the right people recruiters.
Yeah.
Love it. I do want to tell your listeners, though, one of the things that came out of a survey done by LinkedIn, which I thought was interesting.
All 30 of my listeners, you want to tell them? No, I hope
we're going to work on that. Man. We'll add our 30 to your 30. Double it.
I think I moved,
But 75% of candidates will research a company's reputation and online presence before they even apply. And 69% of candidates won't even apply if they don't like what they see, even if they're unemployed.
You know, I'm not surprised, because the last thing people want to do, right, is you go and you interview at a company and then they give you an offer and then you talk to your friends and they go, really, you're going to work for that company? Yeah, did you know there was an article about they deal with some company in China and they use children to make this and that?
Oh, God. Right.
They've read enough things that frighten them.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know?
It's important. It's important, the image you're putting out there, not just to your clients, but also to your potential employees. It really is. It's also an amazing platform to celebrate your team too. You know, there's nothing like putting out on social media, you know, an awesome employee achievement or just how much you appreciate certain team members. So
people like that. They need to be appreciated. Right.
Yeah. And those are the kinds of things that help you be a great place to work. Right. You know, that's the retention piece.
Yeah. And historically that wasn't really done, especially before social media was harder to do. So,
I mean,
you put a plaque up in the office, but the only people are going to see the other employees.
Exactly. No, it's so much easier and it's free. There's so much of this is free, right? You don't have to spend a lot of money, you know, to get this started, to get the snowball going. For sure.
So if you're working with, so let's help some people, right? So somebody comes to you, they're a new employer, new client of yours. where do you start? And let's assume they, you know, they're clueless. So they don't have a, they don't have a mission. Well, they do have a mission. You and I know that, but they don't think they have a mission.
Right.
They have no idea what their purpose is. They probably never have done this before.
Mm-hmm.
Where, like, what's your process? Where do you start? How do you work them up to?
Yeah. Well, if they're really brand new in this scenario, we would want to hone in on their mission, their values, their core values. If you're in the Mike Michalitz world, it's called immutable laws. You know, there's a variety of ways of talking about it, but it's not aspirational values. These are true core values,
right,
that you expect to embody and live through your company every day. So we discover those. We discover what we call the personality of the business, which has to do with sort of the foundation of culture.
Okay.
If you were to describe your business to someone at a dinner party using adjectives, what would you say? Are you fun? Are you serious? Are you dedicated? Are you, you know, just what kind of adjectives would you use to describe your company? And if it's a company of one, it's all about you, and that's okay. Like, that's the foundation. So you have to go with what you've got. If you've got a team, look at your whole team and look at them as a whole picture. And how would you describe them as a whole picture? So you want to get some foundational work done, actually. And we actually have a checklist on our website that can help people through this. Okay, so good. I will make sure I get you that address.
We'll give them a link for the show notes.
The link for the show notes. Okay. Yeah. It's easy. It's but so the checklist walks you through a lot of the steps, but this whole, you have to do a discovery phase, and that's a part of the discovery phase. The other piece of the discovery phase is creating what we call the right fit employee profile. So it's the same thing as your target market client profile, right?
Right.
But it's using employee. So it doesn't matter what role they're in. Doesn't matter if they're an admin or a senior person or a lawn tech or whoever they are, what is the profile of this person in order to be successful in your business, help you live out your mission, you know, resonates with core values, resonates with that personality, adds to the dynamic, you know, just, you've got to create a profile.
Of so does that include profiling existing employees to figure out if they are in the right?
That's, yes. If they have existing employees, we look at that. We look at the whole team and we kind of go, who really feels like they are core part of this company? They're more than just, you know, I'm clicking my timesheet every day.
Right, right.
They're engaged. They're involved. They embody, they drink your Kool-Aid, whatever you want to say. And what, yeah. And what are their clients? You know, what are their culture or what are their attributes, you know, that make them a part of it? What are, and then you look at the commonalities between them. If you're lucky enough to have more than just one person on your team that embodies all of that, then what are the common traits? What are the common personality traits? What are the common values?
Right.
What's common behaviors? Those kinds of things. And then now that helps you create that.
When you're going through this process, if somebody has, I don't know, half a dozen employees or a dozen employees, and you go through this process, you may discover that people are not in the right jobs.
Exactly. And that can happen too. And that's the question. Are they the right people, but not in the right seat?
Yeah.
Or is it they're not the right people? You know, and yeah. So it does sometimes, you know, it does reveal. And that's okay. Because to be truthful, we get clients who are really, it's very painful to let people go. And I understand. Because we're people, like, people come first. That's one of our core values. People
without people, you don't really have much of a company.
You don't. That's the other core belief of ours.
Yeah.
So I get it. But at the same time, what you're actually doing is you're holding them back. The fact that it's not the right fit is not just the right fit for you. It's the right fit for them. So if it's not the right fit for them, it's almost imperative that you let them go so that they can go find that right fit and live out part of what their life's, you know, journey and mission needs to be and can match up with the right company for them. So it's actually more of a service to people to let them go when they're not the right people.
Right.
Hard. And we definitely have got a whole blog post about compassionate firing.
Yeah.
Because, you know, it doesn't need to be ugly. It doesn't need to be that way. And you right. can support people through that transition. You know,
yeah,
there
I'm
are
sure
ways.
As older they are, though, it's harder for them to make.
And that, yes. And that's true, too.
If your secretary mm-hmm. and she's 60 years old.
Right.
Doesn't really understand technology anymore and can't do the things you need to do because the company's changing.
And now a word from our sponsors. NowSite Marketing, the first all-in-one marketing platform powered by artificial intelligence. It's everything you need to market online, and it's totally automated. Build custom websites, optimize them for Google rankings, and automatically create ads and social media posts to drive the most traffic to your sites. Their fully integrated system generates regular email newsletters, manages all your customers and prospects, and provides up-to-date marketing analytics. NowSite. You do your thing, and we'll do the marketing. Use our affiliate link in the show notes to learn more about NowSite and how it can help your business. Uplift your marketing and reinforce your brand with a digital business card from Digital Accelerant. Use a text marketing combination to stand out in front of your competition. Digital business cards make you memorable and most of all help you bring in new business through its warm lead generator. Motion graphics, intro, outro, and inspirational videos can be added during setup. Text the word LAW to 21000. That's LAW to 21000. Or follow our link in the show notes to learn how you can get this valuable tool for you and your company. Suffering from slow internet speed? Worried about hackers? Fetch Pro gets the internet from your smartphone to your Windows and Mac computer without paying for a hotspot. Always get the fastest, most stable, and secure internet access on your computer with Fetch Pro. Follow their link in our show notes to learn more and get connected with Fetch. And now back to our show.
Yeah, that's tough. Yeah, there can be some tough situations and those are case by case. I mean, I don't know that those are the blanket challenges that we see a lot, but we have seen it actually. And I'll be honest, we hired someone we adored, great culture fit, but we did run into that. The technology skills and some of the skills were not where we needed them to be. And it looked like the learning curve, you know, we tried to work with this person, but the learning curve was too steep and too challenging. And you know what though? It was amicable, the separation, and she has written to me. She keeps in touch with me. She's at a job that is so, she's passionate about it, and they don't need that level of technical skill. And she's 64.
Okay. She was working for you?
She was working for us, yeah. And now she works for a nonprofit organization in her community.
Did you find her the job?
I did not. No, they were not a client of ours, okay. But it just goes to show that we don't have crystal balls for people. So we don't know what letting them go and go on to their journey, what it's going to bring. That is, you know, that's not on us. That shouldn't be on the employer. That's on the employee. And you can be supportive and compassionate and try to help them through that transition. But in the end, it's up to them, but it can take them to way better places.
Right. Let's make it real clear though, for the podcast, you do not represent people looking for jobs. You represent companies helping them evaluate, attract the right talent, evaluate the talent, hire the people.
That is correct. It's the employers that we work with, correct?
Right. Yeah. So if I'm a job seeker, you might refer me to somebody, but you're not
going to. Yes, which is what we do. We do get job seekers who reach out to us. They hear about us or learn about us. And, you know, I will absolutely try to set them in some direction rather than just saying that's not what we do. But yeah, in terms of who hires us and pays us to do a job, it's the employers. And we do the employment brand marketing and the full cycle recruiting. So those are the two services that we provide.
Okay. So tell me more about how do you begin to market their create their brand, because I'm sure they didn't have it before. Nobody thinks about that from an employee standpoint. They think of it from a customer standpoint.
Right. So there is a process that we go through. And again, it's kind of like the values of mission. They do actually have an employer brand. We just have to uncover it and figure it out. And it very well may need tweaking and some revising and, you know, pivoting, but everybody does. And so we do, you know, things like employee interviews, employee surveys. We look at what's already out there. We look at their reviews. If they happen to have things on Glassdoor, for example, which is a review site, a lot of employees will go and review their employers on Glassdoor.
On Glassdoor.
Yeah. And that's usually, unfortunately, it's just like Yelp, right? It's only those people who are upset that are really going to do it.
Really going to write a review.
So you have to be careful. But, you know, part of the strategy then is let's get some positive ones on there. If you've got happy employees, you know, do something to incentivize them to go and put a great, review for you on Glassdoor. But so anyway, we just go through that whole process of values, culture, all that, the right fit employee piece. And then we look and audit their online presence already. Do they have a careers page? Is there any kind of team video on your website? Is there, what do you already have? Okay. And, you know, is it also embodying those things? Your core value is fun, but they're super serious videos. That's not in alignment. So what is that brand that you already have and evaluate it? And then coming up with, just like in all marketing, what opportunities that are available. It's like opportunities, threats, you know, strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, and threats. So you look at the opportunities that are available to you that you're not capitalizing on. you know? So okay. maybe you're not posting on social media, you're only doing it once a quarter, or, you know, are there community events that you can get involved in? If you're in a smaller community, it's very important to get involved.
Right.
Right. Cause you need to, you're standing out at a much more grassroots ground level. And if you're showing up at some of the, I don't know, your high school's football, you know, sponsor all the time, and somebody, you know, that shows, and that shows that you care about your community. And if right. that's an important value and you want people who are the same, they care about their community, they're going to be more drawn to you than your competitor.
Right.
Right. And it's the same. This is the one thing I realize a lot of our clients don't realize or don't think about, is when you don't get that right fit employee in your team, they're right. going to your competitor, right? They're going to work for someone else who oftentimes, if you're industry specific, especially, they're picking a competitor. Do right. you want to lose that amazing employee to your competitor? You know, yeah. it's then you start getting, you know, a little driven by competition there. But anyway, I digress, but that's, you know, the basic idea behind it. And then you create a strategy, just like you do with your regular marketing.
Right.
You know, an intentional, well thought out, well planned out strategy, and then you have to implement it.
Now, have you come into situations where, you know, you evaluate them, you talk to the employees, and you realize you really don't have a very good culture here?
Yes.
Employees, yes. And we got to fix this.
That's yes. happened. Yeah, it does happen. We're very good about the clients, or we're very good at picking the clients that we want to work with, right. and they don't have to have a great place to work yet, but they have to want it. Well, and going right back to what you said about, if you don't have people, you don't really have a business.
Right.
Right. You can't yeah. deliver what you're doing without people to right. some degree. So if we get clients in who come to us, who have that mindset, who want a great place to work, who want to have the right fit employees, then we'll work with them. And we do some coaching, you know, we just coach them through, we look at what's going on and we try to uncover what it's about. You know, is it a mindset shift? Is it a mindset thing? Right. Which I will tell you, honestly, Mitch, that's where it almost always comes from. You know, where we've had clients before who, when I ask them questions about, this is going to sound kind of hokey maybe, but when I say, what was your impression of work that you grew up with? You know, what kinds of images, what kinds of messages did you get from your parents about what it was like to work, you right. know, just work, right? It's a huge part of their lives.
Right.
Did they come home exhausted? Did they hate their job? Did they love their job? Were they an employer? Were they always the employee? Did they get promoted? Did they always get overlooked? I mean, just what kinds of messages did you grow up with? Yeah. Oh,
sure.
And that's going to feed you. If you're an employer, that's going to feed the kind of employer you are. And so you might even have to go that deep, you know, to look at that and go, oh my gosh, you know, I saw my father slave 24/7 in manufacturing, worked his heart out, you know, that kind of a thing. And you believe that was a good work ethic. So now you're expecting that of your employees, but that doesn't really, that's not the culture today. Culture right. today is about work-life balance, spending time with family, having meaningful work. So that's going to set up usually an environment that isn't going to attract the, you know, people aren't going to really stay in that kind of an environment. So sometimes we have to go there and uncover those things and then work with them of how do we change that? You yeah. know, asking a lot of questions.
We spoke about last time we talked to it. It all comes down to consciousness. Like with any kind of self-improvement, you're trying to improve your company, you're trying to improve yourself, yeah. you're having problems, you don't know what, whatever it is, 95% of it is consciousness.
You know, yes,
like they awareness, didn't they consciousness. They yeah. didn't realize that
yes.
parents' values dragged them down and they mm-hmm. equated, you know, bad things with money. So therefore they, you know, shy away from success. I mean, there's all those kind of crazy stuff
right.
that
right.
become a lot easier when you realize that it's happening.
Yeah, it's shedding the light. And it's yeah. amazing how powerful just shedding the light is, right? Yeah. Like you, as soon as it becomes aware, it almost diffuses it. And in some cases, just completely.
Like relief.
It just, yeah, it's just, it's gone.
Right.
Like, oh yeah, I used to always.
I can't think of that. And then I go, oh yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I used to have an anxiety all the time about something. And then once you realize where it came from, and now you don't ever have it again.
Right.
You know?
Exactly. Because
so it doesn't have to be hard. I guess that's something. I have a friend of mine who always says, it doesn't always have to be hard.
No,
not at all. And it can be in an instant.
You said about willingness. I do the mm-hmm. same thing. If I'm working with a client and they're not calling me back and they're not doing the things they're supposed to do,
right.
this can't be more painful for me than it is for them.
Right.
And it certainly can't be more important for me than it is for them. I have plenty of clients to deal with and plenty of people that need my help and plenty of people that want my help. I'm not trying to get people to work with me who, you know, they're too busy. They don't care.
Yeah. Yeah.
Clients have to be willing to change and willing to work with you and willing to buy into your philosophy.
Yes, exactly.
You know, you're not there to become their philosophy. You're there because you believe in what you do.
Yes. We're mission driven too.
Right. So how do you go out based on your mission and based on your message? How do you go out and find your clients?
Podcasts. Okay, no, it's not the only. We do a lot of things. I mean, we do a lot of social media. We do podcasts. We work with a lot of partners,
like, for example,
Sabrina Starling of Tap the Potential is a really terrific partner of ours. She teaches so many things, but one of the things she teaches is the same idea of how to hire the best, how to hire the right fit for your company. She uses slightly different terminology, but same idea.
Right.
And, but she doesn't do the actual hands-on recruiting or the hands-on marketing, because we also do the actual implementation of marketing too. Right. On top of the strategy. So, you know, when she gets somebody who loves that idea, buys into it, is a great client, but they need the actual hands-on support, then she refers them to us. And then vice versa. This is part of when we do find someone who needs a major mindset shift and a lot of culture work, then we'll send them to her because she does a lot of that. How do you create a great place to work? How do you become that?
Right. So she goes in, works with the executive team, works with the owner, mm-hmm. does workshops with people. Yes.
Highly recommend her. I think she's amazing.
Yeah, you love her.
Yeah, I do. I do. Yeah. And so what was your question? I've already lost. Oh, other partners. No, partners.
You mentioned you get a lot of business with partners. And I said, well, what are partners? So,
yeah. And so we've got some other partners that are new. It's some HR companies that don't do recruiting. There's a lot of HR companies that focus on compliance or some that focus on benefits and things like that. And they don't do recruiting. So they're, you know, we partner with them. And then when their clients is, I need somebody, they'll refer us. So that's one really good way. And we love that way because it's, you know, there's sort of an inch, they know what we're about, right? Like they know and value and trust us. And so, you know, they're bringing us some of our best clients come from those sources. But yeah, I mean, we do podcasts, we're doing a webinar. Actually, we'll be doing, I don't know the date, so I wish I could tell you, but maybe by the time the show notes come out, we'll have the date, but we are doing a webinar on employment brand marketing shortly, maybe in early June.
Yeah, this will probably come out. Well, this probably won't come out till later in June, but you'll give it to me.
Great. We'll post it. Perfect. Then. Okay. Yeah. And well, we can do it again. That's what we'll do, Mitch. We'll do it again. We'll do it again.
Maybe for part two.
Yeah.
An update.
Yeah, an update. That's right. Funny.
There's actually some people I had on at the beginning and they're like, you know, we should update that episode. And I'm like, well, we shouldn't update it. You should come back on and we'll talk about what's going on now.
Yeah. Yeah. It's amazing to watch the evolution of this for sure.
You know, it's funny. When I first started, I was like, oh, an episode here, an episode there. I talk to people. Now with this whole pandemic thing, I get introduced to you. I have, I think a dozen, maybe not a dozen, but six or seven episodes that I have to edit. I have
a lot.
Things scheduled already for release through June sometime.
Wow.
So I'm probably through the summer almost.
See, so you are a podcaster, Mitch.
I guess. You know what you can do?
The accidental podcaster.
You can help me with your knowledge to somehow figure out how to monetize and make this into a career for me. I met somebody through, not through Susanna, but another group, this girl, Emma from Boulder. And she's not a recruiter. She's a coach. So if you have somebody who's an executive, for example, and you say, listen, we can't help you because we represent employers, she's the kind of person that would help them work with them to figure out where they want to go. She's not going to find them a job. But yeah, so I said, yo, I'd love to be a podcaster for a living, but I got three kids and a wife and two dogs and they all eat at least every other day. You know, we could shift them around a little bit, but we got to feed them. So, it's a little difficult. So I'd love it to be something that I did at least part time.
There are people who do make money at it, but I do think it's a long game. You know, it takes a while.
You've got to get a lot of following.
And then you get sponsors and, you know, affiliate links.
Exactly. All advertising. Kind of that's how you make it.
You know, how you do it.
Selling t-shirts through the podcast is going to make a lot of money. You know, so, so you said that you guys are looking for a salesperson.
Yeah, we are.
So how are they going to develop your business?
So that's a whole new tactic for us. We do want a team. I want a team, not just one, but a team. And we're going to segment them in certain industries and things. and have them go out and find clients for us. Because the other thing is we're picky about the clients. So I want us to be more proactive about companies we work with. So they need to, you know, research the companies and find the ones that seem to be in alignment with us and our values, and appear at least right on paper and in social media to be the kind of company we want to work with. And then, you know, directly go to them and see if we can serve them. I mean, our idea, you know, we want to solve their problems. Hiring is an enormous problem. It's the number one problem now for entrepreneurs is hiring and team building.
Right.
And so, you know, we are making an assumption that a lot of these companies we go to will have some kind of problem we can help them solve.
Right.
And we'll see. But we want to be more proactive, you know?
Yeah. So this is like networking, introductions, boots on the ground, hand-to-hand combat.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Very intentional though.
Yeah. You know? Right. Targeted. Mm-hmm. Find a company that you think you might want to work with. You got to figure out a way to get in to the right people.
Yeah. And that's why we need salespeople, because they are talented at that. If they're a good salesperson, which of course is what we're looking for, you know, we're looking for a rock star salesperson.
Right.
But if we get that person there, and hopefully more than one, that's their jam. You know, that's their zone of excellence. And it isn't mine. Right. I have other things that are my zone of excellence. And, you know, so we need to add these people to our team so that we can have a more robust sort of marketing and sales approach.
Well, I'll definitely keep my eyes open.
Thank you.
They don't have to be in Cleveland, right? They could.
No, it's virtual. Virtual. And they don't even have to do boots on the ground as much if they don't want to. You know, we're pretty open. That's one of our other philosophies, or my philosophy is I want to provide meaningful work that people can do from home in a schedule that works for them. Because I think there's very few options out there for that.
Right.
So that is always, so our recruiters are set up that way. My operations manager is set up that way. My marketing manager, everybody. It's like, you've got a list of things you're responsible for. I kind of don't care when you get it done, just as long as it gets done.
Right.
And it gets done well. And it's part-time, you know, because mostly nobody on my team wants a full-time job. They have other things that they're doing.
Right.
So anyway, so yeah, it's a really great option for someone who's looking for a more non-traditional kind of work setup.
Right. And somebody who's living in Nashville, if they find a company in Colorado that they like, and they don't have to be in Colorado because
they don't.
Zoom call and connect through LinkedIn to the person and then find out who they know. And yeah.
And it's really wonderful because, you know, it's the silver linings, and I always look for silver linings. The silver lining of COVID and this crisis is people are becoming more comfortable with that, and it's becoming a new way of doing business. And we've been doing business this way since 2017, but you know, it hasn't always been the easiest thing to get people, even our clients, to get their head around. You know, you're doing virtual interviewing, like, what do you, you know, and they, but now it's becoming more normal and people are realizing how effective it is and how, you know, there's downfalls to it. I mean, it's not perfect, but it does open up a lot. And so I think a silver lining to this is that it's a much more comfortable platform for most people.
I think it definitely pushed us ahead good 10 years in terms of society's comfort with the technology and improvement in the technology and the security of it and the whole thing. You know, it's funny. I was just talking to somebody before I got on with you, and they were talking about how on these Zoom calls, you have to be careful and don't forget that everyone's watching you. There was somebody who made like a remark or was talking, and the other person had this facial expression like, oh, come on, you know, and falling out on it.
Right.
It's like, well, what was that for? And also sometimes your facial expressions and your body language doesn't match with what you're doing. So I was on a call last week and my friend said, why are you rolling your eyes during her presentation? I go, what are you talking about?
Weren't even aware. Wow.
I wasn't even, and it wasn't, had nothing to do with her presentation. I was thinking, I must have been thinking about something else.
Right.
I realize because you sit here in your office and there's nobody watching you.
In person. Exactly.
Right. And you know, so it's great. Funny how that. So it's good and it's bad. It's got, you know, two sides to it. But I think connection wise, you make more connection on a video call than you do on a phone call.
Oh, definitely. Yeah. Definitely. And we use video. We do video interviewing. And that's the main reason is we can connect with the candidates. And, you know, going back to, we don't work for the candidates. They're not the ones who hire us. But boy, do we love them. And we treat them really well. We value them. We treat them like human beings. We care so much about what they want as well. You almost feel like we're working for them sometimes. But, you know, that ability to connect with them on video is so much more powerful than back in the day when we were just doing it on the phone.
Right.
You build trust. You can build trust. you build rapport,
right?
You know, all of that.
So, you do the first initial interviews. So mm-hmm. you go through the first round of resumes before you present them to your clients?
Yeah, we do two rounds. So we, you know, obviously screen the resume, and then we do a virtual Zoom interview. So video interview. And that's sort of a pre-screen, but it's lengthy. It's 15 to 30 minutes. And that helps us really understand if we feel like it's really what we get out of as culture fit. We get culture fit out of that more than anything. And then we do an hour to an hour and a half full phone interview. That's a much more traditional questions, answers, you know, diving deeper into things like their experience, stuff like that. We do that part over the phone.
Now,
that would be a very long video for our clients to watch. Nobody's going to want to watch that.
Will they listen to the hour call?
No, what we do is we're literally dictating. We're taking dictation and adding our impressions and stuff, but it takes our clients on average about 5 to 10 minutes to scan that and read than it does to listen to the full hour phone call. But they see the video, so they have a good sense for the person and their, you know, everything from their energy, their expressions, their language they're using, how they present themselves,
right.
A personality. You know, you get a lot of that through the video.
And now, then why don't you just do the whole thing on video?
Because we tried that. Our clients don't, they're like, I can't sit and watch an hour and a half video for the, you know, the every finalist you give me. So it's mostly just,
but you can transcribe the audio and just give them a transcript.
Yeah, which that's definitely something we've talked about doing. We've talked about doing that. You know, video takes a lot of bandwidth, but that's okay. I mean, you know, we also have pretty massive online, you know, cloud-based storage. So far that has not presented an issue. It certainly is one we've thought about though.
Yeah.
You know, 15 to 30 minute video is much smaller than an hour and a half to 2 hour video. So
that's a lot of time.
Yeah, it's a lot. But we thought about doing that and trying to find a service, you know, the way to transcribe it easily without us having to go back and do it by hand.
Right.
And I'm sure they're out there now, you know, like technology.
Oh, I use them for the podcast.
So fast.
Yeah.
Oh, do you really?
Yeah, it's very inexpensive. It's like,
okay, you have to tell me who.
10 cents a minute or something like that. So it's like a penny a minute.
Oh, cool.
There's one called Temi, T-E-M-I. That is inexpensive. Now, all these services are only as good as the people speaking on the other end. So you always have to read it over, and it's not
right.
You know, sometimes it's not completely accurate. It gets the idea across, but
okay.
You know, they don't.
And that's always I've heard the case with.
Yeah,
with
it, that'll improve over time.
Yeah,
but yeah, you can, and it's inexpensive. I do that with the podcast too. There's a service that I use that cleans up the file.
Right.
For a couple of dollars, and then makes it better for the feed because you know my equipment's only so good.
Right.
So are there any industries that you focus more on than others when it comes to employers? Or are you kind of across the board?
We're pretty across the board, to be honest. I think over time we'll start to niche because niches will just start to emerge. One of our emerging niches is construction.
Okay.
We do a lot of project managers and estimators and then office staff for construction. We do some accounting firms, you know, definitely bookkeepers and accountants, senior accountants, tax accountants, that whole arena. But they're not, you know, claimed niches. We've got clients in, you know, online, like graphic designers, web designers. Like I said, we've got a lot of lawn care companies that do lawn tech. You know, they apply the chemicals or they mow or they do landscaping. It's kind of across the board. It's at this point, we've identified a few that are a little harder and not probably the best fit for us, which is healthcare. Well, that's not true. I shouldn't say that. Like the bigger healthcare. So nurses, right. Doctors,
yeah.
You know, licensed doctors, physicians, things like that. Small community healthcare, though, is a great fit for us. Dental offices, chiropractic offices, naturopathic offices, you know, the smaller community where maybe they have
admin people and front desk people. And
Yeah, exactly. Patient coordinators, you know, there's all different kinds of roles within those companies that are above and beyond just the doctor themselves.
And how many, you know, how big's your team?
Our team is 8. We're a team of 8 right now.
All in Cleveland or no?
No, actually. I've got myself and one in Cleveland. We are in three of the 4 time zones. So we're in Eastern time zone, Mountain time zone, and Pacific. I've got quite a few in the Pacific. About 4 people are in Pacific.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. So all over. In Oregon and Washington. And then Idaho. So we're all over.
Did you start it when you were in Seattle and then moved to Cleveland?
Yes, yes, yes. I started in Seattle and then we moved less than a year later. So it wasn't really grounded in Seattle. I was grounded there in the business community because of my previous company, you know, so that was, but I pivoted at the end of 2017. We moved here in August of 2018.
So. I got it. And some of those people that you had were on the West Coast and they stayed
right.
there.
Right. Know.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah. I think that's something that employers can start to recognize that unless they're, you know, look, obviously if they're in construction, you can't hire them out in Oregon.
Yeah, exactly. There's a lot of businesses that can't do that.
But there's going to be a lot that never thought that they could. And
yes.
you can have a virtual assistant. You can have a virtual receptionist. You don't need to have these people coming to, you know, your office all the time.
Right. It's true.
It's going to change the way we kind of work things.
It does. And it poses challenges that need to be addressed, you know, staying engaged, staying connected, having your employees feel like they're actually a part of a team instead of working solo. You know, as a leader of an organization, you have to really be thoughtful and intentional about those things, learn about them, look and see what other people are doing.
Right.
You can institute them, but it takes a little more work actually in some ways because the little nuances of seeing each other every day is just gone. You know, you don't get that. So you have to be more intentional. And I mean, it's a good part of what I do. You know, it's a big part of my role is, you know, maintaining that connection, getting engagement, making everyone feel like they're
on your team, you mean?
Team.
Yeah.
On my team.
Right. You have to be intentional. Okay. Let's get on at this time. Let's talk here. Let's check in here.
Yeah. And finding ways to do it socially. You know, it can't just all be about business. Otherwise, you really will lose that culture. So the main question is, how do you build, develop, maintain, nurture culture in a virtual setting?
Yeah.
Right. And if you're willing to have that question at the forefront of your mind, you know, fairly consistently, and you seek answers, then you'll make it work. It'll be great. You know, you can make it work, but you can't just.
You can do, you know, you do it for your social organizations. You can do it for your company. It's
Right.
It's the same thing. So
yeah, it is.
All right. So I've taken up a lot of your time.
Oh, it's been so awesome though. I love it. You can probably tell Mitch I can talk all day.
It's good stuff. And I think it's timely. And, you know, by the time I edit this and I get it posted and we're out there, all this stuff we're talking about will be showing itself. So
yeah,
the market will be settling in and people will be able to hire again and go back to work and we'll see who didn't open and who did open and what that looks like.
Yeah, there'll be a lot. It'll be a very different landscape for sure. Yeah. And, you know, as is the case with your last pot, you were talking about that other person. By the time this airs, you know, some of it might already be outdated and there's a whole new, you know, challenge that we're facing. Yeah. And that's just, you know, that's the nature of the way it works. It's fine. But it's fast moving what's happening. It's weird because I think in some level, we all feel like it's very slow. It's called quarantine. I don't know if you've heard that term, right? And we're all sort of this weird space with time relationship. But at the same time, things are also moving very quickly, like how it's massively changing everything.
Well, I think, first of all, I think you had about 6 weeks of no decision making because people didn't know what was going on, what was going to happen.
Yeah.
People get antsy. So now they're starting to see, okay, their kids' school's closed for the year. This is happening. I got to pay my bills. Money's starting to come through from the government, maybe.
Yeah.
I'm going to make some decisions and they start making decisions and things start speeding up. So we'll see.
Yeah.
We'll check in the fall and we'll see what's going on in your world.
Yeah. That'll be interesting. That would be great. But yeah, I mean, we're seeing an uptick. We've gotten 5 new requisitions just in the last couple of days and we hadn't seen anything at the beginning of this. People just stopped
hiring. Yeah, of course. Cause you know what was going on. Well, that's good to hear though.
It's great.
Hiring.
It's amazing. Yeah. It's really fantastic. I think people are.
If you like our podcast, please tell others about us. You can find us on Apple Podcasts, on Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, TuneIn, and iHeartRadio. If you like what you hear, please leave us a 5-star review and feel free to share our episodes on social media. If you have any questions or comments, ideas for the show, or you'd even like to appear as a guest, reach out to us by email at info@beinhackerlaw.com. The Accidental Entrepreneur is a production of Mitchell C. Beinhacker. If you'd like more information about Mitchell and his practice, you can find him on social media or visit his website at beinhackerlaw.com. Thanks for listening, and be sure to subscribe to our feed to be notified of all future episodes.